everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person or maybe being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite team. Well, with the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, you can go to the concert or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. All you need to do is use the Vivid Seats app to purchase tickets and start earning today. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code ESPN25 for 10% off your next order.
LeBron, the washed king. Kawhi, the load management king. College football's playoff king, and wax on, wax off. Is that going to get you guys a bowl of wax, Jackie? From his ears to your lips. I mean, that's what it is.
What is he thinking? No, everyone's watching all the time.
Injury, /illness, load management, /knee. It kind of just rolls off the tongue, doesn't it? Yeah. It's what it says on the official report for Kawhi Leonard tonight as he sits out again. Bucks Clippers nationally televised on ESPN. Clippers say they've been in contact with the league before both the national televised games he sat out this season so far. This, like last week, the first end of a back-to-back. Tomorrow's game versus the Blazers, also nationally televised on TNT. Ramona Shelburne, first to you. How should the NBA feel about it? How should NBA fans feel about it?
I think the NBA and the fans should be upset about this, but I guess I understand where he's coming from because this is what he did all of last year in Toronto, and it flat out worked because he carried the Raptors to a title, so it's hard to question him, except for the fact, why this game, the front end of the back-to-back and not the second day of the back-to-back? The only thing I can come up with, honestly, is that they don't have another game until Monday after their game against Portland. And so I guess if there's too long in between, it's 3 days playing, 3 days off. I don't know. I think it's arbitrary. I think he has a lot to do with it. I think it's a little bit lame that he doesn't want to play against Giannis, but it worked for him. So
Woody Page, what are you laughing at?
I'm just laughing for Ramona trying to defend their actions. I don't see how it is. Oh, so Doc Rivers would rather play him in a conference game because it means so much to play in a conference game against Portland more than a team that you might face in the NBA Finals. There is no defending this action. He didn't play. He hadn't played in over a week in Utah. I mean, really, if you were going to rest him in the second game, not the first game, but why don't the Bucks turn around and say, well, we're not going to play Giannis in L.A.? You know, the heck with your fans. I've been talking about this since Popovich was doing it. It makes no sense. If it was last year, yes, he played in 60 games. He was coming off that mystery injury. This year, he's not coming off any kind of injury. He should be in the game for the fans, for the national TV audience, for the NBA. Everybody should be upset with what he's doing.
Sarah Spain?
I mean, I wouldn't say it doesn't make sense. It makes sense, right? He's more rested when they get to the end of the season when it matters the most. The problem is, it's bad for the NBA. It's bad for fans. It's bad if you're only playing Giannis Antetokounmpo twice in a season and you're already missing this one. And who knows whether you're going to play the second time. You might never meet in the playoffs and we never get to see Kawhi versus Giannis, two of the best and most exciting players in the league. I almost feel like it might be unreasonable, but maybe the NBA should have something like in fantasy football, the can't cut list. Here are 10 games or 15 games that you're not allowed to skip until you can for sure prove that you're injured. I'm not sure how you can make that provable, but this just seems like a problem, and it stinks for fans who want to see the best players play each other.
I'm hearing you guys loud and clear. It stinks. And I know, Jackie, I'm sure you feel the same way as well. Should the Clippers care? Should Kawhi Leonard care? Jackie?
Well, here's the thing. You can add to the other list of people it stinks for. It stinks for the Clippers, Tony. And you know why? Do you want to go back to that him guarding Antetokounmpo, go back and look at the numbers. Yeah. Nobody guards Antetokounmpo better than Kawhi Leonard. No one's even close. So it's not like Doc Rivers is jumping up and down and saying, hooray, we get to sit Kawhi down for this game. He's not happy about this either if you gave him truth serum. I understand where Kawhi is coming from because this is the new league. This is player empowerment. I'm going to do anything I want to make sure I keep myself in the best optimal position. I do understand that to a point. But he's got to look around and realize all the other people he's affecting, including his team.
Shelburne, you want back in?
Yeah, I think that's one thing that I've learned in covering Kawhi over the years is, like, he doesn't care about any of that.
Right.
Like, that's not his concern.
Should it be?
He cares about being there at the end of the year. And, you know, I have to wait for him 90 minutes after a game, every single game, to speak to the media because he has to get his treatment. You know, there is a rule about that, and he just blatantly disregards it every time, but he doesn't care.
Wasn't he proven right, though, last year? I mean, he took off 22 games last year and won a championship. That, I mean, if you guys are going to make the championship the be-all, end-all, he got there last year, Jackie. Go ahead.
Okay, but Tony, first of all, he was coming off a quad injury that made him have to sit up most of the previous year.
Yeah, right.
So to load management made a ton more sense last year than it did this year. And we don't have any evidence that tells us if he had played in more games that he'd be less effective. We don't know that for sure.
Woody?
We don't.
Well, if the NBA really cares, why don't you fine him $100,000 or $200,000? If he is not going to actually show up for a game he should be playing in and he's not really injured, this is load management. Speaking of load management, look around at this powerful panel. I should have load management and not be here today.
But we have a form of load management. This is how load management works on this show, Woody Page. You want to see it again?
Oh.
Here it is again. There we go. Let's move on. Lakers 118, Bulls 112. L.A. comeback from down 19 in the first half. And another triple-double for LeBron. But check this out. I want you to see the lineup L.A. put out there to start the fourth quarter and what won them the game. It was Caruso, Cook, Kuzma, Daniels, Howard. Ramona, what are the Lakers showing you with this 6-1 start?
Well, they're a lot better defensively than I thought we expected coming into the season. And you have to give Dwight Howard a ton of credit for that. I mean, the guy is shooting like 78% from the field, but he's also blocking 2.1 blocks a game in like 21 minutes a game. He's been really good for them. And I think that lineup that took over that game in the fourth quarter, you name them off. They were murderers row, right? Alex Caruso and Troy Daniels. I mean, they're deeper than we thought too. And I think that is something that when I watched them initially and the questions we had about this team is, you know, are they deep enough? Is it just going to be LeBron and Anthony Davis? That fourth quarter told you they are.
Woody, it looks like you need a break right now. We'll manage that load. Sarah Spain, how about you?
Yeah, I think what we've seen is the Lakers team that's been able to succeed in many ways because of their stars, because of their defense, because of their bench in comeback fashion, with LeBron carrying the load when AD is off, with AD carrying the load when the bench can't play. We've seen them do all sorts of things in such a small sample that you feel much more positive about them. And like Ramona said, the depth is huge. What we've wondered about in the NBA is you continue to have these two or three superstars at the top is do you have room and money and the drive to add other players below to allow you to have some depth that matters in games like this? And we've seen it. This is a great start for them because mentally this allows them to have some hiccups down the road and feel like at least they understand that they can get it to work.
Jackie, can you focus on that second unit here that Dwight Howard is kind of the man in the middle for? But that's Caruso and Daniels, and maybe it wasn't something you thought was good, but it's proving out to be.
Well, see, you're looking at one game and some great shooting from Kyle Kuzma. If you watch this whole game, LeBron James won them this game, Tony. It was that simple. Okay. When they were down in the third quarter and they were down by tons of points, it would have been easy to throw in the towel and say, you know what, we're not going to win this one. He wouldn't let them. I love this LeBron James, the one that plays both end of the floors, plays his tail off, passes the ball, gets everyone involved. If you want to know what's going on with the Lakers, it's simple. This is the LeBron James revenge tour. You think he's done? You better think.
And Woody, you were saying this before we sat down, but isn't this what you see when he's tweeting out the washed king? Do you like hearing that from LeBron, Woody?
Sure, because everybody was knocking him before the season that maybe he was done because he went to L.A. and he concentrated on his TV and movie productions. He just didn't look like the same player. And here you see a guy that's leading the league in assist, 11.2. He's playing point guard. He's playing center. He's playing forward. He's playing defense more than anything. Frank Vogel's got to love this because he's a defensive specialist, and he's got those guys at least understanding English. And you got guys like you mentioned Caruso. He was more – his performance last night was more like Enrico Caruso. I just was impressed.
All right, buddy. You know what? I mean, a point for the troubles, I guess. Ramona Shelburne, what are you seeing from LeBron? And that tweet there, Wash King, you know what that means to him.
Yeah, I know what that means. That's a shot at everybody who was doubting him over the summer, who was taking shots at him. But I also think it's a little early for that. I mean, yeah, he had three straight triple-doubles. That is to be commended. I'm with Jackie on this LeBron James revenge tour because you have to give him credit for playing both sides. But the second he has a bad game, that hashtag's coming back out in another
one. Right. So you think he went to it too early. It's almost like you want to do some load management on the hashtags for LeBron James. Sarah Spain, last word after the horn.
Yeah, I was going to say, we do expect athletes, though, to let everything roll off. And in this moment, it's clear he wants to be able to tell everybody not so fast. Yeah. So I don't blame him for that. It does also remind me of a great line from Coming to America, the Royal. It's about washing a king. I'm gonna keep it for later.
Well, okay. The Royal, you know, I know what you're trying to do here. See, this is why we get in trouble with Sarah Spain on this show. All right, let's move on. College football, the playoff rankings, Big Ten SEC Challenge. You guys saw this. This can't be how it ends up, can it? But Ohio State 1, LSU 2, Alabama 3, Penn State 4, with Clemson at 5. That's how it starts. Sarah, what does it mean, and how should Clemson feel?
Well, I think Clemson certainly has a beef about where Bama sits because Clemson's beat more winning teams, more Power 5 teams. They have the same best win. They haven't beaten any top 25 ranked teams. So why is Bama sitting there and they're on the outside looking in? Most would argue it's because of that one-point win over UNC and because of a bad ACC. And can they be blamed for how the rest of that group is playing? I don't think so. But the good news is there's a whole lot of games coming up that are totally going to shake things up, and this probably won't matter for Clemson.
Yeah, the good news is it means absolutely nothing, but I think they got everything wrong here. First of all, Clemson has a right to be disrespected for all the reasons Sarah just said. If you put Penn State ahead of Clemson, you should also put them ahead of Bama because you're using the same logic. And why isn't LSU number one if they've beaten three top 25 teams? The whole thing is wrong, if you ask me.
Tell us how you really feel, Jackie, and Ramona Shelburne.
I'm happy to.
That's good. You're not wrong.
Look, I think they should feel mad, too. They obviously were disrespected here. They're being punished for not beating North Carolina by enough, okay, and playing in a bad ACC, okay. It's not their fault. And I think the thing that they have to be much more upset about, though, is that they're not getting any credence for what they came into this season with. Like, they're not getting any respect for what they've done coming into the year as the defending champion.
I hear what you're saying, but that North Carolina game, I mean, they nearly lost that game. That was a two-point conversion at the end. Woody Page, how about you?
Oh, so, Tony, in your ranking, you want to care whether or not a team loses a game or just barely wins a game. Supposedly, the committee is relying more this year on an eye test. Well, that wasn't a very good. It's like they're colorblind here. In terms of Clemson, it should feel disrespected. This is all about the ACC. It's not about Clemson. They're beating teams by 30 points a game, and they've scored 40 points in 7 games. And yes, they are a better team at this point. They've won 24 games in a row. What do you have to do
to pass an
incredible
eye test? The defending champions, though, should they be given extra credit for being defending champions? I don't think any of you would say.
Sure.
Yes, you would say to that, Woody. No, this is a new year. This is why we have a new year.
It's about performance this year.
Oh, no, this is supposed to be a ranking for this year, not for what you've done in the past. All right.
Well,
Woody, you have the all-time wins in this show. That's why you want past history to project forward here. We're taking a break right here. College basketball's next in Buy or Sell. And here's Andrew Jones. He scored 20 for Texas last night. His return to the court after leukemia. This is a great story, what this young man has done, and how the community around him has encouraged him. I always talk about the word encourage. It has the word courage right in it, and that's what he's showing us. But O-U-R in the middle, how the whole community pulled together. Incredible story. Well done.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
Champions Classic kicking off the college basketball season. Duke and Kentucky. Remember last year, Duke threw up a 118 and won by 34. We didn't get anything close to that this year, but Kentucky and Duke getting wins. Kentucky 69, Michigan State 62, Duke 68, Kansas 66. Ramona, who or what impressed you most?
Yeah, I like the freshman from Kentucky, Tyrese Maxey, the kid hitting all these three-pointers here. 26 points, most points scored by a freshman in his debut ever at Kentucky. And he came off the bench to do it. I love the Tom Izzo line where he said, you know what, I got to recruit against Cal now, saying, you know, our freshmen actually start.
Woody Page, how about you? That's good.
I was impressed with Kentucky overall. I thought that both games were very sloppy, too many fouls, too many turnovers, but Kentucky finally emerged, and you talked about Maxey, who shoots like Bob Cousy did in the 50s from 25 feet. He actually knows that one spot on the floor. And
I'll take your word for it, Woody, Bob Cousy. What I know about Bob Cousy, of course, I know historically, it was the Bob Cousy dribble that I'm familiar with, not so much the shooting from 25 feet. Sarah Spain, how about you?
Dead shot.
Yeah, I know they don't necessarily need more praise, but I'm going to go Coach K and Duke because of the difference in the team. Last year, they scored 50 more points to get their season opening win, but they still got a W. Totally different style, defense and grinders, and he had four players play at least 12 minutes. Only one guy, Trey Jones, playing 30. Last year, four guys averaged 30 minutes a game. It's a totally different team. It'll be interesting to see if they can still find great success with a different
style. And Jackie, your takeaway?
So a little bit of overreaction Wednesday, don't we think, a little bit? After one game, we're proclaiming all sorts of things.
That would never
games.
Happen with us. I think, what are you talking about?
Never. But that Tom Izzo quote, Ramona, you know what makes it so funny? Is guess who the finalist was for Maxey? Michigan State was the other team that he was considering. So no wonder he's saying that. I will say this. I think Michigan State's going to be just fine. They shot 19% from the three-point line. I think they're a pretty good team, and if Joshua Langford can ever come back from that horrible foot injury, I think they'll be right back in the Final Four. So let's put on the brakes for everybody.
Buy or sell two. Celtics 119, Cavaliers 113. Gordon Hayward tying his career high with 39 points. That this game was in Cleveland, the site of his injury 2 years ago, and that he had that career high, had Hayward saying, you can stop asking about the leg now, Jackie. Do the Celtics feel like Hayward is all the way back, and is he?
You know, I can tell you, Brad Stevens told me over the summer that Gordon Hayward was all the way back. I think they already knew that. I think you've got a team now that passes the ball, shares the ball. They don't turn it over. They're very thin up front. But there's a good vibe around this team that, as we know, was not there last season.
Sarah Spain.
And Hayward's a big part of that.
Yeah, I'm buying this performance. I'm also buying why he probably doesn't want to keep talking about it. I bet you the sports therapists are telling him the leg is in the past. You're fine. You're 100%. And we all expect athletes to return on our schedule. Well, it's a new season. You should be perfectly healed by now and everything should be great. Maybe he needed a little more time, and we're seeing the Hayward who can return to previous form with just a little more time needed.
Woody Page?
I'm thrilled for him. He's playing the way I saw him, and I saw him a number of times when he was with Utah out here. And he never showed that to us really last year. If he can do this consistently and get back to the way he was, and I think there was extra motivation last night because the horrific injury happened in Cleveland.
Yeah, no.
And I think he wanted to put a final punctuation mark on that.
Ramona Shelton.
Well, I mean, look, Gordon Hayward's been gone for 2 years, really, right? I mean, the whole year he missed, and then last year he was back, but he really didn't make much of an impact other than to maybe seem to ruffle some feathers because Brad Stevens kept wanting to play him so much and put him back out there. So I'm really happy for him that he's back, but I also think the Celtics, yeah, you mentioned they're thin up front. When you have Marcus Smart guarding Kevin Love and doing a pretty good job of it, they're an interesting team. I mean, I thought they needed to make a trade, but they might be able to go small this year.
Buy or sell three, Chiefs practice today. Patrick Mahomes on the field, taking reps. It's been 2 weeks, 6 days since dislocated kneecap. Chiefs at Titans Sunday. I remember asking you guys about Drew Brees, a question you all answered, wait, don't bring him back, and he's throwing for 400 yards and winning games. So, Woody, what should the Chiefs be thinking with Mahomes?
They should hold him off. I'm going to tell you the same thing I said about Brees, is they've got two division games coming up against the Chargers and the Raiders. Those are a lot more important, I think, to hold those teams off than to play him at Tennessee. Let's make sure he's fully healthy.
Shelburne?
Yeah, I mean, we need to bring some of that load management to the NFL.
You guys were so upset about it with Kawhi Leonard, and now you're saying it should be involved for Patrick Mahomes.
This is justifiable, though.
Uh-huh, okay, fine.
Really?
So you wouldn't play him this week. Jackie, how about you?
If he's not 100%, if you're not 100% sure, What is the rush? Remember, it's not just a dislocated kneecap. There was also an ankle injury that went along with that, Tony.
From week one. And Sarah Spain, how about you?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with everybody else. There's no reason to force this. And even though I know that clip was not live of him getting near the dog pile, I still watched it like this. Like, don't touch him. Don't touch him. I don't know why he's anywhere near that celebration.
Well, you know who's nowhere near a celebration today, Sarah? And Woody Page as well. Taking front row seats.
Ageism.
For Ramona Shelburne and Jackie McMullen. Showdown next.
There's Crispy. And then there's Crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Ramona Shelburne, Jackie McMullen, good luck in showdown. How the Blues beat the Canucks last night. It was overtime, you saw the missed shot and the collision for the Canucks. And then there's a 3-on-0, as is tradition in overtime. And Jacob Markstrom destroys his stick afterwards. Ramona, who's to blame for a 3-0 breakaway?
I mean, I would say it's the NHL hockey rule, the overtime rules now, but they did it to themselves. I mean, their own guy took the other three players out.
My favorite part about this whole thing is Jaden Schwartz, who scored the goal afterwards. They said, well, you know, how did you do it? He said, well, you know, you don't get a lot of 3-on-0 practices in practice. Yeah, no kidding, because it's a dumb rule that shouldn't exist, for crying out loud.
I like it, though. I mean, this is just makes, you know, it's overtime a little bit more intense and difficult. We'll move on. Showdown 2, viewer warning here. Here we go.
Oh, no.
Earwax lip therapy, Jackie, fair or foul?
Well, obviously it's foul. I know Kenny Atkinson pretty well. We've had discussions just recently about how when you're a good team, everybody watches you every minute of every day. They see everything, you and your players. And if this isn't evidence, I don't know what is.
I mean, I get really excited when I get boogies out of my son's nose every day. So, like, I'm not like the person who's going to have a hard time. I'm going to give Kenny a hard time with this. So
you're making me nauseous.
There. I got Kenny's back.
I know, but I mean, when you got a 1-year-old, this is what you got to do. I'm with you. I'm with you, Ramona. It's absolutely right. Burt's beeswax. I mean, it's the same thing. Go ahead, Ramona Shelburne.
I can't believe I did the booger defense. all right, I want to give a shout out to the fan who rented a $65 full-size Elmo costume and showed up for the Nationals parade the other day. A bunch of kids saw him. He started signing autographs. Somebody thought he was somebody, and a woman with a clipboard said, hey, you know what? Come on this bus. This is where you're supposed to go. That's why there's Elmo in all the Washington Nationals parade photos the other day. It's such a nice storm. Not encouraging everybody to go dress up as life-size Elmo, but you never know what can happen when you do.
Elmo!
You see? That's once again, we got a 1-year-old.
That's a good deal for an Elmo.
Do it, folks. Shout out to Chelsea Jared, who saw a pigeon nearly hit me in the face. Oh, hit the cat!